From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. What happened as a result of the resurrection is unprecedented in human history. In the span of a few hundred years, a small band of seemingly insignificant believers succeeded in turning an entire empire upside down. They faced the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane. They faced the fires of 1,000 deaths. Why? Because they were utterly convinced that they, like their master, would one day rise from their graves in glorified, resurrected bodies. While it is conceivable that they would have faced torture, vilification, and even cruel deaths for what they fervently believed to be true, it is inconceivable that they would have been willing to die for what they knew to be a lie. They had seen their Lord. They knew that He had died. They knew that He had overcome the power of death through resurrection. And thus they knew they too would rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and as a result of that, they counted not their lives worthy even unto death. They lived by an entirely different standard, and they turned an empire upside down, which, by the way, is analogous to what I have seen in China. Christians who genuinely believe in resurrection, turning an empire upside down. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Literally tens of thousands, now millions, coming to faith in Christ. Because every believer, a reproducing disciple maker, not left in the hands of the hired guns, but every believer recognizing their responsibility to make a difference while there is yet time. And I think if we would catch their passion and vision, the willingness to testify in face of persecution, my, we could have a significant impact in the West as well. Instead of being marginalized, we could turn an empire upside down. So we don't have to think that it's all over, it's continuing to go in a bad direction. Politics, preachers, they're all taking the Christian faith in a bad direction. You don't have to have that dour outlook on what's going to happen. If you'll take your responsibility seriously, you can make a difference. One person can make a difference. Thousands of people listening to my voice right now. Together we can make a difference, and that is why we do what we do. It's also why we ask you to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. We are making a difference, not only in the East, but also in the West. Stand with a team making a difference for time and for eternity. If you can join the support team, sign up online at equip.org. You can, of course, as always, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants are awaiting your call. If you pick up the phone and dial 888-7000-CRI, let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Jason. He's listening in Illinois. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good.
I got a question. Malachi 3:10 and Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, mm-hmm. on the testing part. In a way, for an unbeliever, it sounds like a contradiction. Can you help me explain that where it might not?
Yeah, in Malachi, you have God speaking, as it were, in a heavenly condescension, in language that we can relate to. And he's saying, in that sense, people of God, you can do what you already know you are supposed to do. And when you do, you will recognize that I will bless you in concert with the principles that I have already promised based on my nature and character. An entirely different thing is going on in Matthew chapter 4. This is, in essence, not testing God, but this is a word from God to Satan, do not tempt the Lord. Because remember, in this context, Satan is tempting Jesus, and Jesus is not only the one who took on human flesh, but the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He's the creator of all things. So Jesus is saying, do not tempt the Lord by doing things you already know you're not supposed to do. In other words, deliberately putting yourself in danger for the sole purpose of testing God's love and provision. So you got completely different contexts. One, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord. And the other is you can test God and recognize that leaning on the arm of God is far more secure than leaning on the arm of flesh.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless your ministry.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. And of course, this ultimate spiritual battle that Jason was alluding to, which we find in Matthew chapter 4, you see that the creature was alone and hungry, but this creature was not a human creature. This was Theanthropus, the God-man, the creator. And the most powerful creature in the universe was poised and ready to strike. The creator had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Sensing vulnerability, the tempter seized the moment. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread, he hissed. And Jesus might well have responded by unveiling his divine glory, but he didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then Satan transported Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus could have routed Satan with 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit. You're starting to hear a familiar refrain? One more time. In desperation, the devil took the Lord to the summit of a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. He showed him the splendor of those kingdoms. But he said, all this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. The Lord of the universe could have blinded the devil with the brilliance of his intellect. What? He didn't. He took up the sword of the Spirit. And as Jesus armed himself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so must we. armed with the puny sword of reason. We're impotent before an arch fiend who has studied us thoroughly and is intimately acquainted with all our vulnerabilities. Armed with the sword of the Spirit, we're a terror to Satan, and we can stand strong in the face of his fiercest temptations. All of that to say, get into the Word of God, because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And if we don't take up the sword of the Spirit as believers, if we don't get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us, we are going to be impotent in spiritual warfare. Be right back with more of your questions.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Alan, listening in St. Clair, Missouri. Hi, Alan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. My question's in the book of Genesis. The men of old and renown, who were they?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because you see the Nephilim appear not only in Genesis chapter 6, but also you see them in Numbers chapter 13, where there's a report on the exploration of the promised land. And all the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We looked.
Yeah, there were the giants.
Yeah, they were large, very much like you would, for example, have pictured Goliath. He would have looked like Shaquille O'Neal. He would be very, very, yeah, very big, and you would look like a, I mean, I stand next to some of these basketball players, and I feel like a grasshopper as well. They're large. But we know that they were the sons of Anak. They're described that way. But we don't know that much about the Nephilim. The one thing we do know is that there is no warrant whatsoever to suppose that these are the offspring of fallen angels and women, as some in the Christian church are wont to say. And unfortunately, there are many in the Christian church today that look at Genesis chapter 6, and they hold the notion that demons are having sex with women there, and that is the point of the story. It's not the point of the story. The point of the story is judgment on sinful humanity. The notion that demons can produce real bodies and have real sex.
Well, that never crossed my mind.
Well, a lot of people hold that. It's the notion that demons can produce real bodies, have real sex with real women. And that, of course, is really problematic for a lot of reasons, including the fact that it would invalidate Jesus' argument for the authenticity of his resurrection. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Want to go back to the phone lines? Let's talk to Patricia, listening in Missouri. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was wondering about Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 3 through 5.
Uh-huh.
I was talking with a friend of mine and who told me that Christmas trees were paganistic and that we receive presents from under them and our children receive presents from under them. Is that how you read that?
No, not at all. In fact, if you look at this, you've got to always look at the context. Here's what's going on. In the passage, this is what we read. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by the signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them, for the customs of the people are worthless. And then these words, they cut a tree out of the forest. A craftsman shapes the tree with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammers and nails so that it will not totter. Well, if you read that far, you say, oh, this sounds a lot like a Christmas tree.
Right.
That's how it sounds to modern ears. But if you're thinking biblically, you say context, context, context. And the biblical as well as the historical context precludes the notion that this is a Christmas tree, because the very next verse says, like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. So what you have here is a description of a tree cut out of the forest, adorned with silver and gold, fastened with a hammer and nails so it will not totter, as a reference to wooden idols, not Christmas trees.
Oh.
And the point is, they worship idols. That's what the injunction is against. Jeremiah is warning the people not to follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations and worship idols, but rather to worship the true and living God. In point of fact, Christmas trees originated in Christian Germany 2,000 years after Jeremiah's condemnation of idols. So this has nothing whatsoever to do with a Christmas tree. Christmas trees weren't even invented until 2,000 years later.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for your call.
Have a great night.
You too. Want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Glenn in Wyoming. Hi, Glenn.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I heard something I hadn't heard maybe ever, and that is that this pastor believes that in the end times, when Christ comes back and raptures his church, that the people that are on the earth at that time, would all that would be saved would already have been saved, and therefore no one would be, I guess for lack of a better way to say it, left out because of the timing of Christ's return and rapturing his church. Could you shed some light on whether that's scriptural or not?
Well, I don't think it's scriptural. First of all, Jesus Christ said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned," which is to say that when Jesus Christ comes back, this is when the general resurrection takes place. The notion that there is going to be a secret coming and then a second coming that's separated between the secret coming and the second coming is a period of time of 7 years. And then we come back with Christ in the second coming, and after the second coming, people are saved. And then there's a 1,000-year semi-golden age with rebuilt temple, reinstituted temple sacrifices, I think is an imposition on the Scripture. When Jesus Christ comes back, he will put all things to right. He will deal with the problem of sin and Satan, and we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The dead in Christ will be gathered together. The dead who are outside of Christ will be gathered together. They'll both be judged. And there are degrees of punishment in hell, degrees of reward in heaven. But there is a judgment that takes place, and the notion that some people are resurrected before other people, I think, flies in the face of the very straightforward words of Jesus Christ himself.
Okay. I guess, and I don't have an opinion at this right now, but what you're saying is, from the teaching that I've had, is that you don't see like 144,000 being in the tribulation period and that type of thing.
No, I do not. I think this whole notion of the 144,000 is something that we should look at very, very carefully from a biblical perspective. The 144,000 do not have to do with different kinds of people, but has to do with the totality of the people of God. In other words, the 144,000 has to do with all of God's people. The 144,000 and the great multitude are not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literally, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. John is told about a lion, he turns to see a lamb. In the same way, he's told about the 144,000 and turns to see a great multitude. So from that, you can deduce that the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb, the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride of Christ is numbered. From another, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. What we have today in the modern church is the suggestion that the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly that. And I think that has to stretch your credulity beyond the breaking point. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that as well. And if you look at it to begin with, 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in the Assyrian exile. The other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by the Romans. The pattern of Scripture is to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. In fact, New Jerusalem itself is figuratively built on the foundation of the 12 apostles. It's entered through 12 gates inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The walls are 12 times 12, or 144 cubits thick. So it's far more likely that 144,000 is a number that represents the 12 apostles of the Lamb multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel times 1,000. And that number is a number that is established in this sense in biblical history. So we're not simply using a fertile imagination, but we're reading the Bible in light of the Bible. I've written about this in a number of different places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the ministry. Also, I've written about this in more detail in my book titled The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. I'm going to leave it at that, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.